But Jim's going to be out while he works through his cataract surgery and make it easier for him to work through that instead of trying to focus eyes that aren't quite ready to focus right. So he gets to sit back and relax for a couple Sundays, and I'll fill in for him. But you have your Bibles? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And I want to look at just a brief incident. We'll look at just one verse, but move on to some practical things. Not so much teaching the Scriptures, but kind of practical things about the Scriptures, if you will, for us as believers. So Genesis chapter 19, verse 27 says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord." And I want to focus there and notice that this incident in Abraham's life where he got up early in the morning and he went to the place where he stood before the Lord. A common place that he would go to be with the Lord. And I want to consider that for us this morning, spending time with God. I trust that we do spend time with God. And I trust that it's, you know, we do it every day. And take time with Him to be there. With the ever-increasing pace of our society, we do well as Christians to stay in a proper relationship with our God. You know, friendships have to be worked on, do they not? We can't just meet someone, become a friend, and then not see them again. How is that friendship going to work out? Not too well, will it? Oh yeah, I met so-and-so. When did the last time you saw him? Oh, the first day that I met him. How long has that been? Oh, it's been 10 years, but we're still friends. Somehow I don't think so. You know, if you've never gone back to keep that friendship kindled, it's not really a friendship. So as we consider those things, and you know, again, we have a fast-paced society that we live in different places it can be slower paced. But we still have a lot of things that pull on us. Good things, not necessarily the bad things, but, you know, good things that need to be done, that, you know, work calls us. We've got to go to work unless you're retired. But even then, I find people are more active when they're retired than when they were working because of other things that come in. But we have all sorts of things that can pull us away from that friendship with our God, from that spending time with Him. And may we understand that what we did in the past isn't sufficient for today. Again, looking back at friendships, you know, I knew a Brian Wilson when I was in the second and third grade. Are we friends? Well, we were then, but we haven't seen each other since then. So I can't really call him a friend, even though we were very much side by side. We had the same kind of bike, except he had a sissy bar up the back of his. I didn't have that, but we thought that was rather cool that, you know, here it is. We move into these places. We were both military brats. We were living in military housing, and go around the corner and I find this Brian Wilson, and, oh, you have the same bike I do. That's cool. You have a sissy bar though, but it's still cool. We have the same bike, so we became best friends. He had a St. Bernard for a dog, like that. But I haven't seen him since then. I wouldn't necessarily consider him a friend. Because I have no idea where he's at, what he's doing. And, you know, things come up in our lives that can pull us away from the good things, the spending time with our Lord, and it can quickly cool that relationship. And when we understand that our Christian health, if you will, relies on that constancy with our God, we can easily say, you know what? I missed today, so it's okay. I'll double up tomorrow. And maybe we do tomorrow. But we saw that, okay, that wasn't too bad. I missed a day, so next time it may be 2 or 3 days. But we get back in there. But pretty soon we find ourselves really drifted away. And we're losing our spiritual vitality. We're losing that which we had. And oftentimes it's so incremental, it's so slight and so small, we really aren't paying attention to it until we are way far away. We haven't talked to God. We haven't read from His Word. And it may be weeks or months before things start really going awry because God's trying to get our attention again. And we find ourselves in a bad place to then try to move back, because now we've got to confess our sins. We've been wrong in doing these things, and we've got to come back to Him. But let's understand, as I think Abraham did, he got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. It was a common thing to do. It was part of his life. It was, as it were, a non-negotiable. And taking that and understanding that, the purpose of spending time with God. What is the purpose of spending time with God?
To learn more about Him, to grow closer to Him.
To learn more about Him, to grow closer to Him.
Enjoy His presence.
To enjoy His presence. Now that's an aspect that is wonderful, because He's not visibly with us. But we enjoy His presence. Jim.
I was listening to Warren Wiersbe coming in this morning, and he said something about we're always supposed to, the Word of God, and then we're to self-examine ourselves. And that's something we need to constantly do, is self-examining.
Yep. The Word of God is there to help us. It's not there for us to just read and check off and say, yep, I've got that Bible reading done for today, but how does it apply to me? What can I learn from this passage? We have fellowship with God as we take that time with Him to have that presence, to learn, to grow. Realizing, if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Purpose of spending time with God also, spiritual strength for the day. Paul reminded the Ephesians here in verse 12, and in the whole context there, if you will. But he says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Our battles are not physical battles in our spiritual life. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's a spiritual battle that we have, not a physical one. And spiritual battles must be obviously battled spiritually. And he will go on and show us the whole armor that we are to have, bringing us to the point of our weapon is what? What is our offensive and defensive weapon? The Word of God. The shield of faith, so that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Our faith is built as we spend time with God in His presence, as we read His Word, as He uses it and molds us and shapes us, giving us that faith that we need to have an effective shield, if you will. We won't falter. We have the Word of God to use, yes, both defensively and offensively. We defend ourselves with it, and we go on the offense with it. What did Christ use when He was tempted? He used God's Word. He didn't reason with Satan. He didn't debate him, though would Christ have out-debated Satan? Hands down, he would have won. But he didn't debate him either on the merits of things. He quoted the Word of God to him. And Satan had to retreat. He had no defense against that. He had no counterattack. It is the ultimate, if you will, weapon that we have in our arsenal that God uses on our behalf and in our hearts and lives. So the purpose of spending time with God is to see those things built up in our lives. So do we enjoy it? Do we take that time and realize the value of it and the importance? I've been working on that hand that Brother Herbster gave us on the Wednesday night. And it'll be an insert here. I had many things going on this weekend, so I have it kind of ready, but I didn't get it printed out. But I want to print that so that we have it as a reminder, our priorities. God first, heavenward. And the rest of them along the way, our work, our family, ourselves, church. Making sure that we have them in that proper order. But taking that time with God, that is first and foremost. It should be the highest priority. And nothing should intervene with that. Do we consider that important? That we are taking time with God every day, reading His Word, and taking time to pray. We have prayer needs all over the place. You know, within our church family, within our nation, within the world, that we need to take to God in prayer about. And so we take that time and set it aside. It should be a wonderful time to be with our God. We do that with our spouses, do we not? I trust so. We enjoy being with them, spending time with them. How much more so with our God? So what do we need to do in preparation for spending time? Again, I wanted looking at this on the practical side of things. Whether it's in the morning, I mean, that's when I spend my time. That's when I have my devotions. My time with God is in the morning. Some may do it at night. There's no perfect time, if you will. God didn't prescribe, you shall meet with me at, you know, the first hour of the day or the ninth hour of the day. But He does want us to meet with Him. I have found it's one of the first things I do in the morning. Start my day off. To me, I'm getting off on the right foot, if you will. I'm spending time in His Word. I'm spending time with Him in prayer. And it, to me, just helps me for that day that is ahead of me. I've talked to the One who knows about what lies ahead in my day. So in order to be ready for that, what do we need the night before? A good night's rest. If we've been up till all hours of the night, we're still going to be what? Sleepy in the morning when we get up. How many of us have closed our eyes as we've been reading? And it doesn't necessarily have to be the Bible. But we've been reading and our head starts bobbing. You know, that I've had it happen reading the Word of God too, because I have at times not had an adequate night's sleep, and yet here I am in the morning trying to read, and I'm having a hard time. So I've been reading that same verse 5 times now. Okay, Lord, let's get up, move around, get some things a little more awake so I can continue and be taking in what I have. But, you know, get the necessary sleep the night before. Obviously, be awake at that time, whatever that may take. I think every one of us is different. Dr. Bob Jr. used to say when he was alive, he wasn't awake until he had a couple cups of coffee in the morning, and then he would consider himself awake and feeling like he was saved. I will get up and take my shower first. I'm feeling a little more awake at that point, and then I can open up the Word of God and take time with Him. You know, we may have different things to get us awake after we have awakened in the morning. But, you know, make sure that we're awake. Put away those distracting things. And, you know, for most of us, that's not children, but sometimes it's children. As I found as we came into our marriage, it had been one of the first things I did in the morning. When the girls came along, I found I needed to back up my time. Get up a little earlier so that I could make it through my time with the Lord before family called and my priorities, my needs were being pulled from a different direction that had been influencing and crowding in on my time with the Lord. And so we backed it up some so that I could take care of this and be ready for this other priority of the girls. So we need to put away those distracting things. Sometimes we may need to put away that square device that we have. It's a useful thing, but if it's a smartphone, you've got notifications from all sorts of places popping up, and it's an easy distraction. Turn it over. Put it on vibrate so it's not notifying you of those things and drawing us away. We've got to be careful with that, and I do. Put away those distracting things so that they're not going to interfere with what we have going on. And ultimately, listen to God. We read His Word. It's there for us. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to show us what it is that He wants for us for today. As I've said, you know, in looking at our reading schedule, you know, Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." A great prayer to pray before we start reading His Word. God, open mine eyes that I can behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, we can take that word into the larger context and say, out of thy word, because we may not be reading His law, the first five books of the Old Testament. We may be elsewhere, but open mine eyes that I can behold wondrous things. Because there are wondrous things here that God has for us on a daily basis. But listen to Him. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know Him. We so want to move around and do things. And God reminds us to be still, to wait on Him and be there. Come before Him with a cleansed heart. Psalm 139, the last two verses, 23 and 24, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." How often have we come to this time with God and we've had sin in our hearts and it isn't quite right? And God has to remind us, you have unconfessed sin. You need to confess this. You need to open up the line of communication again. You've severed it with your sin. So let's open that line back up, so that I can talk with you and deal with you in a free and open conversation. Again, thinking of it on a human level, if our friendship is strained because of something that's happened between us, it's kind of hard to just come up and start talking about anything, isn't it? We've got to take care of that issue that has strained our relationship, our fellowship, before we can readily enjoy the conversations with our friends. The same holds true with our God. If we're going to spend time with Him, we need to make sure we have an open, wide broadband, if you will, of communication with Him. Unfettered access. Nothing is hindering us in that regard. So we have that time of preparing. Are we ready for this? Are we ready to spend time with our God? To open up His Word, to read it, to take time in prayer with Him. What are some of the pieces that we need? What's the most common one that we need? Kind of the elephant in the room.
Confession of sin.
The Bible. Yeah, we've already, yes, Jim, yes, we need that. We kind of just, the Bible. Yeah, it is kind of the elephant in the room. It's of course I need the Bible because that's what I need to read. But yes, we need our Bible because that's what God talks to us through. I mean, yes, there's the promptings of the Holy Spirit, but we need our Bibles. We need to be reading it. And as I will say it often, we need a reading schedule. Whether it's to go through the scriptures in a year or what, a reading schedule. Because if we don't, we are going to fall into, I wouldn't call it a trap, but we will fall into this place where we enjoy reading certain books. I know I did. When God impressed upon my heart as a freshman in high school that I needed to be reading this book, I had been, saved 2 years before. We had moved from that place. We weren't going to church where we were. And God impressed upon my heart, I need to be reading this book. It tells me about God, the one who saved me. And I quickly found in those couple years that we were away from attending church and I was reading the scriptures, I'd read a chapter a day, I quickly found some books that I really liked. And that's what my reading consisted of. But that was a few out of the 66 books in our Bible. And I was missing a lot because it didn't interest me. Chronicles, I don't think is the number one book in the Bible for people to read. All those names that we can't pronounce. And other books aren't necessarily, really high on our list of reading, and yet are they in our Bibles? Yes. Did God put them there? Yes. He has a purpose and plan for them, even for us today. And so a reading schedule so that we can go from Genesis to Revelation. Whether it's a year or 2 years or whatever the case may be, but having a reading schedule that's going to take us through the Bible so that we read the whole contents, because that's what God has for us, the whole content. And so take that time to have a reading schedule. Again, whether it's the one that I have back there, which is a little more aggressive, it's not just Genesis to Revelation, because it includes Proverbs once every month and going through Psalms twice in the year. It's no skin off my nose if you have found a normal reading schedule, like I think we have some in the gospel tracts, that just takes you from Genesis to Revelation in a year. I'm not hurt if that's the one that you use. Or somebody else's reading schedule. Robert Murray McShane had a reading schedule that he put back, that he made up back in his day when he was a pastor. I mean, there are all sorts of reading schedules out there. The point is that we have a reading schedule that we follow so that we can read the whole scriptures and to read it through. Do we have our prayer requests? What are we praying to God about today? I have for myself and my wife, I have printed out a prayer request sheet, if you will. I pray for certain ministries. I pray for certain friends in the ministries that I have. People in our church. I have days that I pray for specific people. And so I've divided up our church family into 7 groups because there are 7 days in the week. And I pray for that group on that day. And I break these things up, and these are the things that I pray for. As I know things about our church family, I can pray about those things when I am on that day for that person. But to have that prayer request that we're praying for, have paper available. God may touch our hearts, our reading schedule, and I've tried to help people understand that for the reading schedule for the book that I did. It's to read through the scriptures. It's not to study it. That's something different. And it is oftentimes from our reading that God may touch our hearts on a passage. Or a word may jump out at us. Jot it down. Take time elsewhere. There's something about that. There's something there. I need to look at this further. So jot it down, because I think for most of us, we may not remember when we're done with our time with Him and we move off into our work day. What was that I was going to... What verse was that? Where was that? And we've lost it. And we may read that passage back again and it may not quite come to our mind. So have a piece of paper available to put down those notes. Those triggers to, yes, it may be something that God wants us to look at further in a study time. It may be something that, you know, I don't quite know what that means. I had a lady in our church in Washington, when we were church planting. She was reading through the scriptures. She was in Joshua, and she came to me on a Sunday morning, and she said, "Pastor, what does ho mean? H-O-U-G-H. She said, "I found it in Joshua." She said, "I have no idea what it means." So I looked up the passage and I said, "You know, I'm not sure. That's obviously an English word that we don't use today, so I'm not sure what it means either. So let me look it up." It means to hamstring the horse. They weren't to keep war horses, if you will, and Joshua was commanded to hamstring the horses in their conquest of the promised land if they came across them. So, you know, these things may pop up and we may need to delve elsewhere and find out, what is that? What's the meaning of that word? Or, you know, that passage is drawing me in. God, what is it about this? Several years ago, I was coming through the book of Luke and praying. Prayer. Just kind of, it was popping off the pages as I was going through the book of Luke and realized Luke mentions a lot about praying in his gospel. Christ is praying. And continued on into the book of Acts and see it a lot there as well. And it is a key theme in both of those books that Luke puts in there. Prayer is a vital thing that we need in our lives. But that particular year, it just popped out to me. I had read it the year before when I went through Luke, and read it the year before that when I went through Luke. But it had not popped out to me like it did that particular year. And so... have those notes to follow that and to find other times to take time to study things or to look further at what God's showing us in that plan, in that place. The plan for spending time. There's no, again, set plan. But, you know, plan that time. Same time each day if possible to create consistency. You know, depending, again, what our work schedules are like, that may not be possible, but, you know, consider that consistent time, plan it, this is when I'm going to do this, and so that it creates that consistency, it creates that good habit that we're there taking time. You know, organize it. What am I going to do? Take time to pray. Ask God. Again, whether it's not mechanically, but, you know, truly praying it. Lord, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. There's nothing wrong with quoting that scripture. But may it not be mechanical, may it be heartfelt. Lord, yes, open mine eyes. Open my heart. So that as I read your word today, you have something for me. God, I know you can use it. Now let me be receptive for it. So take time to open in prayer. Read it, learn it. If you have a study Bible, again, it can be a distraction, but it can be helpful as well. Again, with those words that we may not know, they may have a footnote to help us. But take that time to look at those things, But again, not to be sidetracked. You know, some study Bibles, you know, they have this vast amount of notes, and they can quickly draw us away from actually reading the scriptures, and now our time is gone, and we didn't get through the passage that I wanted to cover. So again, that can be one of the distractions that can pull us away, but it can be helpful as well. And then close in prayer, that prayer time that we have. And always making sure that it's not mechanical. I'm going through the process. I've done it. I opened in prayer, I read, I prayed to God, I'm done. We can go through it mechanically, and we don't get anything out of it. We've read it, but we've never had our heart open for God to use it. And we've missed it. We need to be open and willing for Him to use it in our time. Because as we consider these things, the prayer of spending time with God, if you will, effective praying costs. You stop to think about it, our praying is one of the hardest things to do. I don't remember who it was I was talking to in a smaller setting. I think I've said it in the auditorium as well, but if you're not sleeping well, you wake up in the middle of the night, I have one of the best prescriptions for you on how to fall back to sleep. Start praying. Now, two things are accomplished, and I'm being serious about this. One, you can pray. You're awake. So what better thing to do than to pray for the things that may come to mind? Again, we have a church family. We all have needs. Pray for our church family. Pray for our missionaries. Take that time to pray. I have found I'm usually back to sleep. I don't know when, but I'm back to sleep, and I wake up in the morning and realize, yeah, I was praying. Okay. Lord, thank you for putting me back to sleep. Finish out the night. But two things are accomplished. One, we're taking time to pray for those needs. And two, we're going back to sleep without using any medicines or any other thing that can put us back to sleep. Much better on our bodies. Not that I'm a doctor or a health guru, but you know, no reason to get up and take a sleeping pill. Just take time with God. It'll be well spent. But you know, when we think of our praying, it requires discipline. Because even in the morning, if we're praying, we may get a little sleepy again. Because maybe we've been sitting there for a while, and that sleep that we didn't quite get enough of is coming back in on us. But it does require discipline. It requires perseverance. Man, I've been praying for that person for 10 years and nothing has happened. So I'm just going to stop. Let's not. We don't know what God's doing in the hearts of that need, in the heart of that person. I think I've mentioned it in my home church. We prayed for a man for 17 years for his salvation. Now, I didn't know about it for the whole 17 years. I just know the story. I got in on kind of the tail end of it, but we had been praying for 17 years for Mr. Edwards to come to know the Lord. And it was 17 years before he came to know the Lord. But when he came to know the Lord, he came to know the Lord. He became a faithful member of that church, served in that church for many, 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 many years afterwards. But we were reminded of those things that 17 years we prayed for him. What would have happened if we stopped after 5 and said, oh man, this guy, he's just not going to get saved, so we'll stop praying for him. His life could be very different. But it was kept before us, and I trust that people were praying for him. I mean, I know I did. Can't say that I was always consistent with it, but I was praying for him, though I never knew him, never met him until after he was saved. But it requires perseverance. Keep track of the prayers as we see God answer them. What a joy to then see that as we go through. If we've written them down someplace, maybe in our reading schedule or something, and we come back around to it and see it again, we can rejoice. God answers prayer. We do have a prayer answering God. And we can note those things. And as we consider our prayer time, and again, I think we've touched on this, the four basic elements of our praying: adoration, praising our God for who He is, confession, we do need times to do that, thanksgiving, thanking God. How often do we come back and thank Him? As we've seen a prayer answered, as we've seen Him minister to our hearts in a very definite way. You know, there were 10 lepers that came to Christ. And He said, go your way to the priest. And as they left, they were healed. How many came back and in essence said, thank you? Just one. And he was a what?
Samaritan.
Not a Jew, he was a half-breed. He was one of the outcasts within the Jews' realm. But he came back and worshiped God, thanked Him for the healing. And Christ asked him, where are the 9? 10 of you were healed, where are the rest of them? May we not forget the thanksgiving. Paul to the Philippians said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving is a part of our prayer time, if you will. The supplications, the taking the needs that we have, others have, and bringing them to God. We do need to do those things. But to have that, the word acts, if you will, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We may not have all four of those in our prayer, but those are the aspects of our praying that our praying consists of. Whether we're adoring our God, worshiping Him, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Again, our one prayer in the morning may not consist of those four aspects. We may have one or two or three of those. Prayer forms from those. And may we always realize, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 6, problems are going to arise. So here's our warning. If we're not working on this consistently and we start to do this, guess what? Problems will arise. Because we have an adversary. We've trusted Christ. We're saved. We've been taken out of His family. We're not part of the world anymore. We're not under His immediate control. We're in a new family now. He can't reclaim us. He can't bring us back. But He sure wants to hinder us. He sure wants to make us as ineffective a believer as He can try. Because He knows if we stay a shining, bright example for Christ, we have the opportunity to reach others. But if He can get us in a defeated position, shorten our wick, dim our light, we're not as effective for God as we could be. So we do have an adversary who will do what he can to oppose us. He'll pinch that baby early in the morning, get him crying. Just when I was getting settled in. Okay, there it comes. Okay. Do need to take care of these things. You know, cattle get out of the pen. They're out roaming around where they need not be. I've got to stop and go get them. You know, all sorts of things can happen because we have an adversary that wants to get us to stop doing this. So we need to be careful for that and realize that concentration, this is a battle for your mind. We have God that we can flee to. He is greater than those that are in the world. We can ask God for grace and strength. God, hedge him about. Hedge us about. Protect us. Watch over these things so I don't have those distractions, God. He watches out for us. He can keep the cows penned in. He can keep the baby sleeping. He's God. So we have those problems, and may we take them to God. It can sound like a challenge, yes, but it's well worth the effort on our part. That time that we spend with God is a precious time. The time that He uses to grow us, to mature us, to help us in the needs that we have. And so I trust that we do. And if we don't, may we get it incorporated into our lives, because there's nothing greater. And that fast 45 minutes on Sunday morning is over. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had in your word this morning and looking at the time that we need to take and spend with you each day, to spend time as Abraham did, to come to that place where we meet with you. I pray that you would help us. If we have, Father, may we not take it for granted, but may we ever keep our thoughts and minds on you, asking you to watch over that time, to guard it with us, because it is a precious, valuable time in our lives. Father, a time spent reading your word and having you use it in our hearts to shape us and mold us and change us into the image of Christ. A time to pray for our fellow believers, for our missionaries, for the needs that we have. Father, just a time to be in your presence and commune with you, to rejoice in who you are. And Father, we thank you for that. And so, Father, I pray that we would make that a priority, to spend time with you and guard it very jealously. Father, not to be aggravated with things that come up, but Father, just to make sure that we do that. To have it heartfelt day in and day out, which you can so freely and willingly provide, because you want us to come to you. You want us to commune with you as friend to friend. And I pray that we would do so. Bless in the hour to come as we look forward to the morning message. Pray, Father, that our hearts would again continue to be yielded in your presence, that you may use it to strengthen and guide us and direct us. Bless the time that we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.